we've lost so much of just like nature, how it's intended. And it's so easy to like, for instance, like somebody comes to me with whatever it is, like the first thing I'm talking to them about is, how's your sleep? How are your relationships? What do you do first thing when you wake up in the morning? What do you do when you go to sleep at night? Because those things, if those aren't, you know, aligned, then like I could give you a million supplements. We could give you antibiotics, whatever. But other symptoms are going to come.
Hello, welcome to Lunar Living. We are two sisters sharing our journey of life and motherhood. Join us as we explore our spiritual roots, tuning in with our bodies and the pulse of nature's intelligence.
Let's get real with it as we laugh, cry, and grow through this life together. We are your co-hosts, Sarai Irie and Jordan Ariel. All right. Hello, JoJo.
Hey, my one.
How are you doing today?
Pretty good. Yeah. It was kind of a fun, interesting day. Because I thought that I had to get rid of my entire garden in front of my window, or like in my little, like, I made the parking lot area of my apartment nice with a cute, adorable little garden.
And also like heartbreaking to hear that you were going to have to take it all down.
Yeah, because they like implemented a 2-plant minimum, and I was like, two-plant maximum for every...
Two-plant minimum?
that's my kind of apartment rules.
Yeah, I want to rent there.
Right? No, 2-plant maximum at our apartment. And I was like, I have to get rid of all my plants. And then, like, as I was, you know, like, moving everything, like, the manager came out and she was like, wait. You only have to, like, clear out plants on the patio and, like, keep your garden in the parking lot. We love it.
Amazing.
So, yeah. So that was cool. That's what happened with my day today.
The universe is like, continue to flourish.
Yeah, for sure. I know. I was so grateful. And I was like, wow, I really, really appreciate my garden now.
Don't know what you got till it's almost gone.
Right.
All right. Well, I do want to also talk about the month. Something we haven't mentioned yet. We are in the month of Sivan. It will be the 27th that this episode airs. So it's the 27th of Sivan.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just going to open my handy dandy notebook. Do you have any cool things you want to share about it that you know off the top of your head?
Yeah. So Sivan, it's a month that's, you know, focused on listening. It's the month that we celebrate the holiday of Shavuot. So it has a lot of, like, that's the holiday where we like celebrate the anniversary of the receiving of the Torah at Mount Sinai. So that's like, it's like a receiving energy is around this time of year. And it's also beautiful. It's like within that receiving energy and syncs up with the seasons. Because right now it's also like, it's also a holiday that was actually largely more an agricultural holiday, like in ancient times. And you like are celebrating the first fruits of the harvest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then that matches up with the full moon that we had a couple weeks ago, which was the strawberry moon. And so the whole world right now is like fruiting pretty much. It's like end of spring, beginning of summer fruit season, so like harvest holidays.
So really not the whole world though, right? Because there's a bunch of different climates in the world and the...
Oh, right. Like, isn't like Australia like deep in winter right now or something?
Something like that. But are all of our holidays...
Australians, let us know what season it is for you.
All of the Jewish holidays and the Jewish calendar and everything is based off of the land of Israel. Like, it's all based off of, like, the harvest, like, of those times. Like, in ancient times when we were there and we were harvesting.
I wonder how close to the equator it is, because, like, where like we live in Southern California, it's kind of like LA type of area.
It's the same climate. It's we have the same climate as them. We have the same seasons.
We like this.
Yeah. We're like, hey, this feels like home. And I was talking to another friend of mine who's Arab, and she was talking about how like she loves California because it feels more like home to her too.
Totally.
She's from like that part of the world. She was originally from Syria, and so she's like, when she's like, she wanted to move to California, she had lived in Michigan, but just like, because it just like the weather and like, you know, everything just feels more like home to her.
When I went to Israel, I was like, literally like the same like plants are growing here, like on the side of the highway. Like,
I literally
felt like I was like in LA pretty much for like so much of it.
Right.
Besides of like the three different languages on like every street sign.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I don't know. You could have me fooled.
Right.
But I thought it was really cool. Like you were saying about receiving and then also listening. And it seems like they're like not the same thing at first, but really they are. You can't receive without listening. And so it's not like listening like, hey, listen, like listen up, listen to my rules or whatever, like listen to the Torah, but it's like listen and receive. And so I brought a book along today that it just sparked some wisdom. And I read it a couple days ago. And then I was learning about this theme of the month at the end of the month, but better late than never. And I want to share it. It's shout out Rick Rubin. This book is amazing. It's called The Creative Act, A Way of Being. I'm just plugging it because I freaking love it so much. And it's like the chapters are written like they're like two pages of just like a little wisdom nugget. So you can just like take a bite of it whenever.
Mm-hmm.
So this whole part is on listening. And so upon learning that this month is kind of like about that and then getting this insight, it just hits so deeply. Anyways, there's this whole chapter is really good. And I'm like, I don't think I want to read the whole thing, but I'm just going to read the parts that I underlined. So the first one was, the ear is simply present to the world. While the eyes and mouth can be sealed, an ear has no lid, nothing to close. It takes in what surrounds it. It receives but can't transmit. Many of us experience life as if we're taking it in through a pair of headphones. This is point two. We strip away the full register. We hear information but don't detect the subtler vibrations or feeling in the body. So this was cool. Because what he's saying is that listening isn't just with the ears. And it's not even just with the ears and with the mind. It's with the whole body.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can get like spatial awareness and have like a full experience by fully listening, but not just with your ears, just like listening with all of your senses.
Okay, this reminds me of like our dad actually, and him, like we come from very like artistic musical family, and so our like dad and Dave and like their first band Epsilon Minus used to actually rehearse like in Dave's dorm, but Dave just by some chance of like divine providence
oh my goodness
ended up being placed in the deaf dorm. And so like, you know, and so none of them are deaf, but he was in the deaf dorm.
Right.
And so all his roommates, everyone around him was deaf, and they would go and do band practice there. But their roommates loved it.
Uh-huh.
Their roommates loved it. Mm-hmm. They were like, yes, that's so cool, because they could feel the vibration.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I love this like story, this like history.
Yeah.
Yeah, that they could feel the vibration. They're like, no, dude, like we like it. Like,
yeah, because they would be like, are we bothering you guys? And they were like, no way. Like, it's so awesome.
Oh, that's so cool. I love that so much.
So bringing it back to, yeah, just listening with all of your senses.
There's just so much gold in this. Honestly, I recommend getting this book, but listening is suspending disbelief. We are openly receiving, paying attention, no preconceived ideas. The only goal is to fully and clearly understand what is being transmitted, remaining totally present with what's being expressed and allowing it to be what it is. Listening without prejudice is how we grow and learn as people. More often than not, there are no right answers, just different perspectives. Listening, then, is not just awareness. It's freedom from accepted limitations.
So what are your thoughts?
Listening is an act of surrender. And oftentimes we think we're listening. We fully are convinced we're listening. But we are in our mind working out some formulation, some puzzle, our response, instead of just like letting it wash over. It's like almost like when you're having a conversation. A lot of times I feel like, oh, I need to be thinking about what to say. Right. Rather than just letting the transmission, the vibration, the noise, whatever, like wash over me and change me. And expand my perspective and expand my scope.
Yeah. If you're in a conversation with someone, they're talking and you're planning your response. You are really like, are you really engaging in a conversation, or are you just like living with yourself in your own head and they're just like, you know, giving you a little bit of input that you're grasping onto and going on a whole nother thing? I mean, I noticed that I do that. Like, I interrupt people before they even made their point.
It's very natural, and it actually took a lot of mindfulness for me to not be commenting in between the things that you were saying, too, because I'm like, oh, that's what he said here, I'm thinking. And then I'm like, okay, remember to say that that's what he said here. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, no, just be present in the listening. And then you say something else really beautiful, like, and I was able to hear it rather than have discarded that because I'm waiting for my turn to project my voice. To get, you know, it's like.
Yeah, because even as you're speaking right now, I'm recognizing that I have so many thoughts going through my head about what I want to say to that and how I want to respond and what I want to add.
Right.
And it's like, you know, that is where receiving is a gift. It's like we want to contribute, which is beautiful. You want to give, right? You want to contribute. You want to share wisdom or share your opinions or share your feelings because, like, it feels good to do that, to be generous. But actually, in a way, what's kind of coming to me right now is maybe it's more generous to be a gracious receiver and just sit back and listen. And that is, it is an act of surrender. It's an act of surrender because you are surrendering to the fact that, like, if it's important for you to say, it will be said, instead of acting out of fear of forgetting.
But I feel like really listening is like setting the ego aside and being, yeah, being in a state of surrender and being in a state of presence. Like, this is, I'm going to repeat the last line. Listening then is not just awareness. It's freedom from accepted limitations. Because you're coming from this framework of like your mind and what you know, what's right and what's wrong. And it's beautiful to just listen.
And on that note, we're going to go get Becca, who you're going to love her.
You're going to love listening to her.
And we're going to listen to some beautiful knowledge and wisdom that she has to share. Yeah. So this is the beautiful and amazing and intelligent Rebecca Couch.
Hello. How are you guys?
Good. Good. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Exciting. First podcast experience.
Hey. Thank you. We are stoked to have you on. You want to tell us a little bit about yourself?
I met Jordan working in restaurant business. So that's how we know each other.
Yeah.
I am a mom, a wife, a nurse practitioner.
Very cool.
Super into holistic care, food as medicine.
Hoot hoot. Yeah. That's awesome.
So that's what we really wanted to like talk to you about today a lot, is like the whole, yeah, food is medicine and holistic care and all of that. I mean, I see the stuff that you post on Instagram and it's like, yeah, where we met in life was such like a place that was like, had nothing to do with that at all. Like you were bartending and yeah. I was, you know, waiting tables, or I was hosting actually at first yeah. and I moved up, but,
and I was a crazy bitch.
You were spicy, but I always loved you. So
I was very spicy.
Then you met Matt and you became a softie.
That's true.
Or maybe you knew him, but when you fell in love, yeah. you were like all those like rough edges. I like watched a transformation in you that was like so beautiful.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
And so I liked funny. You before that too. So
well, thank you.
Yeah.
That's I know my sister always says, she's like, it's okay. You were cool when you had rough edges, but you're better now. We definitely get along better now, so
that's good. Right. I feel you on that. Also, you know, you like were a big catalyst in me going to Birthright too.
Oh, really?
Like when I did, yeah, because you had like
just come off of it.
Yeah, you had just come off of it, and I was like, oh my gosh, cool. Like, how was it? And you were like, just go. You're like, you need to go. Just go. Go sign up. Like, just do it.
Yeah.
And I was like, shoot, okay. Like, I had a friend who told me about it before too, and I was like, I'd already been kind of thinking about it, but I was like, when am I gonna go? Whatever. And you were like, go now. And I was like, shoot, okay, I think I may have like gone home that night and signed up. Mm. So thanks for that. It was beautiful. Good, it was a beautiful yeah. experience.
It's one of those things too where it's like, just go. Like yeah. just go. I can't explain it. Just go.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and you passed her the torch. She passed me the torch, you know, because you're the one who told me, like, just go, just go. And I was like, all right.
Because I think everybody probably has a little bit different experience, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I definitely think that was one of the things that, like, started softening my edges, because I kind of started healing during that trip.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, like, removing a lot of layers of just, like, anger and crap that I was carrying around, and definitely, like, moved more into, like, spiritual side of myself that I definitely was kind of pushing hard against before that.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, like, just the experiences, I know they tell you, like, you're coming home. And at first I thought, like, oh, it's really woogie-woogie and weird. Like, what do you mean I'm home? Like, I live not here. This is weird. And then just, like, the feeling that you get with all of that, and, like, it just felt different when you got there. Like, you get off the plane and you're like, oh, this is, like, it's just different. Like, there's an energy there that's different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like on a cellular level, like yeah. it was like a huge like spiritual activation for me to arrive on that land.
Same. Mm-hmm. And like on Masada, I don't know if you guys probably
hacked Masada.
I yeah. like bawled my face off at the top of that.
Oh my gosh.
Like, and I was just like, okay, I'm like ready to just like let go and move forward. And it was a really good trip. But there, you know, I think like you have things in your life that shift your perspective, mm-hmm. and when you really truly like let them, then
you're
open to it. It can be life altering, which for me that trip definitely was.
Amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
So when did you start like getting into like nursing? Like, when did you go to nursing school? Did you guys already know each other?
Yeah, I think I had already. You started
after, because you were like, you already had a degree, right? In mm-hmm. in English, right? Or like no,
psychology.
It's like, oh my gosh. Cool. Okay.
I went back like mid 20s. So it's probably a little bit. I think I went on Birthright at 20, maybe my late 20s then. Cause I was like 25, 26 ish then.
Mm-hmm.
When was 2012 compared to now? Yeah, I was 23. So mid 20s, I think I started going back to do like prereqs.
Okay, so what was, like, the driving force in that? Like, what is it about health that, like, has you in this field? And, like, you know, tell us a little bit about that.
I think when I was, like, 18, I found out I was allergic to gluten. And I had, like, all these gut issues pretty much my whole preteen, teen years. Like, basically, they just always told me it's IBS. But I would go like 10 days, 2 weeks without having a bowel movement sometimes.
Oh,
wow. And I have like horrible digestive pain. And there was just no answer from anybody. It was just kind of like ping pong back and forth. Go to the emergency room. There's like nothing they can really do. Give you a bunch of laxatives and then you have a poop. And then kind of same thing keeps happening. And like the general diagnosis was just like IBS. And then when I was 18, I started going to college and my dad lived right by a campus. And he had found this book called Eating Right for Your Blood Type. And he and I had the same blood type. So I was like, I'll do it with you. He had just been diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. I should start there. Mm-hmm. So one, like a, not his practitioner, of course, but somebody else had recommended, oh, I, you know, read this. It really helped me. You should try it out. So he found it, he read it, and so I told him, like, okay, in solidarity, like, I'll do this with you. Mm-hmm. And one of the things it cuts out is wheat, because we have O-positive blood type, which is more like Nordic roots. There's, like, nowhere to, you know, grow wheat. So it's more like a meat-based diet.
Totally.
And, like, within 2 weeks, I was having, like, normal bowel movements. And, like, wow. After 6 weeks, I had lost, like, 20 pounds. And it wasn't even, like, I was... Like, I was still eating ice cream. I was still, you know what I mean? It wasn't, I hadn't overhauled everything. It was just, like, these certain things I had cut out. So then I went back to the doctor, and I said, like, I think I should get, you know, tested and see maybe I'm allergic to something here. And they were like, no, that's not. And, you know, your gut has nothing to do with what you're eating. I was like, okay, cool. So then I kind of just didn't. They ended up testing me for celiac, but I didn't come back celiac. So it took me a couple more years before I found out you could get tested for like intolerances or like sensitivities. So that when that happened, then I got tested and I had already cut it out like years prior.
Yeah.
So I just carried on with that. And then that kind of set me into like this whole, I really want to get fit. And like, I felt so much, like my body just felt so much better that I had like energy and I wanted to work out and, you know, start taking care of myself on another level. So then I kind of got like in this fitness like obsessed phase where I like gave myself an eating disorder because I just was like wanting to be thinner and fitter and thinner and fitter. Uh-huh. And I finally was like getting thinner and I was dating a horrible guy who made it worse. Uh-huh. So I just kind of feel like, and then because of that, I had to change my relationship with food and start looking at food as, like, fuel instead of good, bad, or otherwise. Mm-hmm. But I still was, like, calorie counting and doing all those things.
Yeah, that's so... Calorie counting is, like, the worst for me. Like, I feel like it makes me put on more weight because I'm being so mean to myself that, like, my body is just, like, hating itself that it's, like, just... make it ugly. I don't know.
Yeah. Stress. Like, it doesn't matter if you're... stress, yeah. And how you talk to yourself. You know, all these things, like, play into that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even, you know, if you're feeding yourself negative thoughts, then you're not going to have good outcomes, right?
Right, right, right.
And even, like, I mean, they've done studies with people where, like, a nocebo is just as impactful as a placebo. So if you tell yourself like something's not going to work, it's not going to work.
Uh-huh.
So, and they've done studies that show that, right? Like that they give people, if whatever you believe is going to happen can happen. Uh-huh. So if you get a diagnosis, like I was just reading this thing about a guy, he had gotten diagnosed for liver cancer. They told him he had like 4 months to live. After 4 months, he died and they did an autopsy on him and there was no cancer in his liver.
Wow.
It was like a benign cyst in his liver that they had seen. They told him he was going to die in 4 months and he believed that story and his body believed that story and he died in 4 months.
Wow. The mind is very powerful.
Yeah. And that's like not one story. That's like, there are thousands of those stories. Mm-hmm. So I think, I mean, I'm kind of going all over the place now, but.
Yeah, sorry.
No, it's okay.
Distracted here.
I'm easily distracted anyway.
Same.
But. It's so I kind of just journeyed down and got to a place where I kind of was like, okay, I really want to learn more about the human body. I really enjoy helping people.
Mm-hmm.
And I was already like mid later 20s. And I was like, okay, I can't go back and be a doctor. It's going to take me until I'm like 40. Like, what do I want to do that's going to be like helpful? And I can kind of pick and choose what I want to do. And so I thought, okay, I'm going to become a nurse. And then as soon as I started looking into it, I was like, you know, I think I just, I'm going to like try and shoot for being an NP. And I really want to go through and like help people like bottom of the barrel, start with like diet and teaching them how to like eat and function, like lifestyle wise. So that just kind of sent me down rabbit hole after rabbit hole after rabbit hole. And kind of by the time I had finished becoming an RN, I had already kind of turned my back on like the medical system. And I was like, great, cool. I have like 3 more years of school to be an NP. And now I'm like a bedside nurse. And after 1 year of working in bedside, I like solidified my feelings of like, we're not helping anybody. Like, okay, if I break my leg or I need stitches, like I'm going to go to the hospital. But like if I have disease or something's going on, that those are the last people I'm going to turn to for.
Absolutely. I was sick like last week and my husband got it. Or so I guess it was like 2 weeks ago, 10 days ago, whatever. And then my husband got it. And like, I just like went through it and it was very unpleasant. I haven't been this sick in like years. And then like he got sick and he was like, we currently don't have health insurance. And he was like, oh, I wish we had health insurance so I could go to the doctor and get some antibiotics. And I was like, you don't need to go to the doctor. Like your body is going to heal itself. Like, yeah, your throat hurts, but your body inherently is so powerful and so magical. It's going to heal itself. Like you don't need antibiotics. And he was like, well, it'd be nice to have. And like, that's like cheat codes though. It's like, just believe in yourself and just heal, you know. I know everyone's in different places and stuff like that, but I'm 100% like more up that like holistic way. And like even what you said about like the placebo, about the guy dying and stuff, like I 100% believe that. And I also believe that you can do it the opposite way to like heal yourself.
Yeah, there's so many different experts from different like schools of thought and fields that support that, right? And you know, and also like, yeah, as far as like antibiotics, I mean, you could also do like oregano oil, like turmeric, ginger, honey, right?
We were on that stuff too. I like, we were drinking coconut water and all of that, I guess. And it's like, it's really no shade, because I know that like that works for a lot of people, and that's like how, like just like where they're at, like, and what they're doing. But yeah, for me, it's like, I don't know, for my husband, I'm like, motherfucker, get on board.
That's pretty much how it is at my house too. So. My husband doesn't trust anything that I say, because he always thinks I'm trying to like get him to not take something.
Yeah.
So like 6 months ago, he was like, oh, I think I have strep throat. Like there's knives in my throat.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, come here. I look and I'm like, no, it's not. It's red. I'm like, it's have, you know, a sore throat basically, you know. It's like, it's likely just viral and you should probably just gargle some warm salt water and take all, you know, I laid out some supplements for him and he was like, you never believe me, I'm going to urgent care. Okay, I didn't spend like $150,000 on an education in allopathic medicine anyway already, so I probably could diagnose strep throat, but you go to urgent care. Go on ahead, have fun. He went to urgent care and he came home with no antibiotics because he didn't have strep throat. I was like, he sent the swab to the lab. And I was like, you know that I've done clinical hours in urgent cares, right? Like they don't send it to a lab. Just do it in the office, like a good old COVID test, same thing. Like there's no lab. Oh, they're not sending it to a lab. I mean, they could send it to a lab, but generally it's a yes, no. Like there's no.
That's very relatable. 100% relatable.
Oh my gosh. That's so funny. But yeah, so all that said, what's like your number one health tip? Like if you had to, if it's like, what is like the one thing you would recommend above all else?
Sleep. Sleep. Obviously that comes in waves as a mom, but I think foundationally, like if everything else is perfect and you're not getting good sleep, you're probably still not going to have good outcome. Like in general, longevity wise, and just like letting your body heal, hormone balancing, like adrenals, cortisol, all of those things, you know.
So is there like a specific like 8 hours? Should you be going to sleep by a certain time, waking up by a certain time type of?
Generally, like the rule of thumb is like get to bed by 10. So mm-hmm. you can have like a solid 2 hours before midnight. Because mm-hmm. it helps with like your melatonin and your cortisol and just how your body regulates itself. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying all this like. I went to bed last night at like 1:30 and yeah. woke up at 6. So like it's not like a, if you don't get sleep, you're going to die.
Right.
But I think it's like just foundational. It's foundational, but I don't, that's like the hardest question ever.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I know. I'm sorry.
I feel like, no, I no. like,
I'm like, I'm going to ask her a really like, pointed, intense question right now.
It's so, I think like having a good, like environment also and like network of people around you and a good tribe is really important.
Mm-hmm.
Totally. You know, drinking filtered water. Like there's so many like little silly things that like I think people don't even think about.
Yeah.
That would be, I mean, if we go back like historically and get rid of like all the shit, right? Like you're gonna sleep when the sun goes down.
Right.
You're gonna make sure you have enough water and you're gonna mm-hmm. stay with your tribe. And, mm-hmm. like, those things collectively are going to, like, make you able to do the rest. Make you be able to do the rest of the things right. you need to do.
Yeah. So the number one thing is, like, return to the old way in a modernized way.
Yeah. I mean, I think, like, so much of what we do that's not good for us is, like, this idea of, like, I can do it all by myself. I'm single. I'm modern. I have all this technology around me. And I think, like, when you strip all of that away, then, like, we get back to the fundamental things, which mm-hmm. are, like, human connection. Mm-hmm. And, like, we've lost so yeah. much of just, like, nature, how it's intended.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's so easy to, like, for instance, like, somebody comes to me with whatever it is, like the first thing I'm talking to them about is how's your sleep? How are your relationships? What do you do first thing when you wake up in the morning? What do you do when you go to sleep at night? Mm-hmm. 'Cause those things, if those aren't, you know, aligned, then like I could give you a million supplements. We could give you antibiotics, whatever, right. but other symptoms are going to come. You're going to yeah. start experiencing other things. Infection will come back. You know, like there's just like fundamental things I think we need to be more focused on, even than like, you know, being so worried about getting enough magnesium or right. all of those things.
So I've seen like a lot of stuff that you've posted about like seed oils are like the worst mm-hmm. and like we should be having like, you know, can you like elaborate on that a little bit?
So seed oils are just something that are, it's like super chemical compound. Causes a lot of inflammation in our body. I would say if there was one thing that, like, I was only allowed to take one thing out of everyone's diet, it would be seed oils. Just because it's everywhere. It's in everything. They're so hyper-processed. They come from things that it's, like, mostly a waste product for the most part that they, like, have created. And we're like, oh, what are we going to do with this? Let's sell the oil. We crushed all of these things. Let's sell the oil. Grapeseed oil, like we made wine, we have all the seeds, like what should we do with these seeds? Let's smash them and make oil and sell it. And then if you watch the process of how these oils are made, they're like, it takes crazy machinery to get oil out of these things. You have to heat them up immensely, then they're bleaching them, they're mixing them with all kinds of chemical compounds, and then when they get reheated, when they're frying things, they cause all kinds of oxidative stress in our body. They cause all sorts of inflammation. So, yeah, they may reduce your cholesterol, like, when you're looking at numbers, but they're causing all kinds of other problems in your body. And now what we're seeing is we've had this, like, hyper-focus on bringing cholesterol down, 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 when in actuality, you look at older population, their longevity is much better. They live longer lives than with better, like, mm-hmm. The lower your cholesterol is as you age, the more likely you're going to get dementia, Alzheimer's, the more likely you're going to have, you're actually going to have more probably cardiovascular wow. events, because cholesterol is protective, but it's been like you know,
demonized.
Yeah, so crazy, and so you've had this like hyper focus on it. So they've been able to show in studies like, oh, okay, you know, canola oil is heart healthy because it brings down your cholesterol. But why is it bringing down your cholesterol? Because cholesterol is probably going somewhere to repair something, so your circulating cholesterol is not as high, but it's like trying to fix a problem that it's like continuously trying to fix because you're just causing all this oxidative stress in your body the whole time.
Wow, that's crazy. I've never heard that take on cholesterol.
Cholesterol is, so same thing, even like when you're, people have plaque buildup, right? They blame the cholesterol every time. Like, oh, you have buildup. It's because you have a lot of circulating cholesterol and plaque. That's, you need to eat less red meat, which is crazy. But and you know, bring your cholesterol down. Well, in actuality, when you look at how the process happens, usually it's too much circulating sugar, and the glucose causes like micro tears in the vascular system. And because cholesterol is a reparative mechanism, it goes to those sites to try to repair that like fissure. And fibrin lays down on top of it because it's holding it there to help. And that this process happens over and over and over again. And now you have plaque collected and narrowing arterial walls. Wow. But really, you're blaming the cholesterol for what the sugar did. Or even maybe seed oils, you know, like we're just kind of in the infancy of like uncovering what we've done to our body with.
Yeah.
Goes back to the thing, like I couldn't make oil out of canola seed. You know, I can't make rapeseed oil in, you know, nature. But I can make olive oil just fine. We can get beef tallow from a cow just fine.
I ripped some on my skin today.
Yeah,
great, even like that. Okay, I saw you also post something about avocado oil, and like just by what you're saying, I'm like, yeah, like I can't get oil out of an avocado, even though it's so like fatty and oily. Like in my kitchen, I'm not gonna just like get avocado oil out of an avocado.
Avocado is probably one of those ones like in the middle. I don't think it's necessarily bad, but it's overprocessed. It can like be oxidized from being heated. Well, in the process of making it, it can get oxidized. But also, they're just like faking avocado oil now, and a lot of times they'll mix it with canola oil or soybean oil or whatever else. So the result is you're not truly just using avocado oil. But like you're saying, it's a harder process to make it. So anything now, basically where I'm at is like, what is nature intending on giving us from these foods? And that's how we should use them.
Okay, so then how do you feel about sourdough?
So I've come a long way with that. I think sourdough in essence is like very low in gluten proteins, and I think the fermentation process and how we made bread way back in the day is a lot different from how we make bread now, and the wheat that we use now is a lot different than the wheat we used before. So if you're using like organic, like Einhorn flour, unbleached, untouched, milling your own flour that comes from like a good plant, then I think like it's your best bet as far as bread. I definitely have like incorporated sourdough back into my diet. I've tried to make sourdough a few times.
We're both making sourdough now. I'm like, yeah,
she gave me like a little bit of her starter, so that like put me ahead.
I definitely think it's the best option
as far as like, so it's like if you're gonna eat bread, eat sourdough.
Yeah, 100%. But that doesn't mean like when you go to a restaurant and you order breakfast and they're like, what kind of toast do you want? I want sourdough. Like, that's not real sourdough.
No. Oh my, it doesn't even taste like sourdough. No. It's like
they put like tangy flavoring in the bread.
And it's got like a bunch of that's another thing. Like they, you know, take out everything from the wheat and then remineralize it with crap. And
it's
then
so insane.
It's, yeah. So if you're at home making sourdough with good flour, then more power to you. You can come give me a tutorial because I haven't been very successful. So
yeah, I'm like, I started doing it and my mom started doing it and Sarai started doing it. I have a really good book I could recommend you on that.
Yes, please send it to me.
I will. It's called The Sourdough Whisperer.
Okay.
shout out. Like, it really was a very helpful thing, but Okay, also being that, and it's funny with like what we talked about when like you came in here and everything too, because I was like, I don't know if she like drinks now anymore or like what, and because I've been kind of going through like more internally, just like, I mean, I always like try to buy organic wine, but like also I go to family parties and whatever, and I just drink whatever is there, and I drink freaking White Claws and whatever, and I know it's terrible. Like, I know. But also I'm like, and it also drives me freaking crazy. I'm like, I feel like there should be an uproar about the fact that alcohol doesn't have to list their ingredients. Like, everything else lists their... It just seems like that's the biggest freaking conspiracy in the food industry, or I don't know. It's just, like, complete bull. Some of them do.
And honestly, I'm really big on, like people are like, fuck capitalism, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, well, look, we're living under it, so vote with your fucking dollar.
Yeah.
Like, you're so pissed off about all of these like people who are being oppressed, stop supporting their job. Yeah. You know, like why don't you start buying organic food? Why don't you start buying alcohol that lists the ingredients? They're gonna be like, oh, that's trending. Like, let's hop on that, you know? So totally. That's what I do. And then I'm like, I know I'm just one person, but I'm like, I really try. I like the tallow that I put on my skin is like a $30 sunscreen. And I'm like, look, I would rather spend $30 on this sunscreen than buy a $5 one that I'm like wanting to crawl out of, and that's making me sick, you know? Yeah.
Sunscreen is definitely a big one. That's like a big topic of conversation.
We talked about that too. But yeah, so what do you think about alcohol?
Like, I drink, so I'm not gonna. Do I think it's like good for you? Absolutely not.
It's good for the soul sometimes. Yeah.
I couldn't sit here and lie to you and tell you there's like one beneficial thing from alcohol, like health wise, except like
relaxation. Yeah.
Joy.
Yeah. Except like the back end of that is your body's not really like, you're relaxing momentarily, and then like while you sleep your heart's racing, your blood pressure's rising, like there's all kinds of things.
Wow.
But I went to book club, you know, last night, and I had like 3 or 4 tequila sodas, so that's generally what I drink. If I'm gonna drink, it's usually gonna be tequila, because tequila creates the least acid in your body. It has the lowest glycemic index. It's generally like the most clean alcohol.
I like it too. So
no wonder. No wonder that's my drink of choice.
So, but not when you go to Tequila Jack's and order a schooner of margarita. Yeah.
Definitely not there. There's a lot of added things in there. So I'm a boring drinker. I mean, every once in a while I'll go somewhere, like we got to dinner for our anniversary or something, and we're having like some ridiculously expensive dinner, and there's like really cool cocktails on the menu, I'll probably order something.
Yeah,
but generally it's tequila soda for me. That's tequila soda and limes. Yeah. Sometimes, I don't know if you guys know, like Elementi, the element packets.
Oh yeah. Gave me one of those when I went in to take the babies into the because we actually, that's how we like reconnected. Yes. Kind of, because so I funny. Took my babies into the pediatrician and you were doing a residency.
Oh
there.
My god, that's awesome.
And so I was like, what? And you gave me one of the Elementi packages because I was nursing.
Yeah.
And I'm hooked. I buy them all the time now. Thank you for that.
Yeah, you're welcome. Shout out to Rob Wolf. They're my favorite. We sell them at the shop I work at now because I'm like obsessed. I'm just slowly bringing in everything that I like so that I can buy it for wholesale.
That's awesome. Is it like is that like liquid IV or something?
Yeah, except it's like a good one.
It's not like first ingredient sugar.
Exactly. Yeah. It's just, there's stevia in there if you get a flavored one. But again, better, you know, best, better, worse, totally. Whatever it is. I'd rather have that than anything else. And liquid IV, I think, has some crazy like 16 grams of sugar or something in it. Yeah. And it's not like the right kind of magnesium. It's not enough potassium. So you're just kind of drinking like sugary water.
It's,
it will
so
help
crazy,
a little bit,
dude,
with a hangover, but
it's crazy to me like that the biggest like the biggest brands and stuff are like always like fucking like it seems like. I don't want to say this, but they're always like shitty. Like, it's like, why can't the best hydration supplement actually be good for you? Right. Like, it has to be fucking like, oh, actually, no, it's just pure sugar. Like,
yeah. What? Well, I think a lot of times companies start out like a little bit smaller. They have good intention. Uh-huh. They start with like a formulation and then they blow up, make a bunch of money. And then Nestle or somebody comes and buys them and then changes right. the formation. The formulation doesn't say anything about it and then keeps selling it where they're making like way more margins on it. And now, you know.
Yeah,
everybody's mm-hmm. already hooked on it, so they don't notice.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that happens like with supplement companies, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times they'll like get big and then get bought out by, like, Nestle owns Pure Encapsulations now, which supposedly they haven't changed anything recently. But that was like one of like, it was a good supplement company I used to recommend a lot. Now I won't because I think Nestle literally is from the devil. So
yeah, agreed. Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, they're awful.
Wow. Yeah, it's so crazy. Oh my goodness.
It's hard. It's definitely hard. And I feel like that's the hardest thing for like a layman or just like an average person that is informed to like, mm-hmm. it's just overwhelming. And like the seed oil thing, that's like one of the big, like we go over like a list of things when you're like trying to change anything. Right. And I tell people like seed oils. I had a follow up with a patient today. She has cancer and, she was like, I started looking at labels and there's like canola oil and everything. I was like, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like most people don't even realize because it's just in things you would never imagine it would be in. Mm-hmm. Like crackers, okay, fine, cool. But like, right. I mean, gummy bears, you know, not that I'm like an advocate right. of gummy bears, but like, why is there even oil in gummy bears right. anyway? Like, isn't there enough like sugar, corn syrup, every other thing that we have to right. add. Let's add something else horrible to the mix.
Yeah, yeah. Like just sell more formula. Of this product.
Yeah. Like, baby formula is one of, like, the biggest horrible, like, of course, I mean, I have a two-year-old that's still breastfeeding right now, so, of course, like, the fed is best thing was, like, a marketing propaganda from the formula companies. That being said, like, no shame on anybody using formula. I think breastfeeding is like one of the hardest things about having a baby. Absolutely. That nobody talks about when you have a baby. Everybody's worried about like labor, delivery, all those things. And I think so many women don't even have the conversation of like having somebody to support their lactation experience. And some women like latch a baby right away and everything's cool. And then other women have the hardest time ever. Mm-hmm. And I think as a mom, it feels like horrible. Like I'm not doing my job. And instead of that being something that's like normal and everybody gets, you know, like that should just come with your care that you have lactation help. But then people give up because they think like it's just not working or they don't milk. I've heard so many people say, well, I just didn't make milk.
Yeah.
Like, well, I mean, there's reasons why you're not making milk, you know, right. like let's support your body. Let's give you what you need. Which that kind of led me down a whole other path of like Ayurvedic medicine and like old Chinese medicine and learning more about that, because on that spiritual journey, like I always was like real, I kind of push back a lot against like spirituality and that whole, mm-hmm. and obviously like this is years of coming back around, but I really do think there is like a yin and a yang, and we do like have to pay attention to, you know, when we have a baby, like we're losing a lot. We're gaining a lot, obviously, but we're losing a lot. And we have this weird thing where we're like, look, I was back in the gym in 2 weeks and I can do this and that. And like, I'm a mom that can carry every task. And no, like you should lay in bed and be like spoon fed congee for 40 days. Yeah. Like,
yeah, I feel like there's this like big like rise in women like turning back to more like feminine ways. And, like, realizing, like, wait a minute, feminism isn't all I thought it was cracked up to be, you know?
I feel like we're, like, redefining feminism, too. You know, where it's, like, feminism isn't, like, and in my feelings about it, like, it's not about, you know, being the same as men are like making everything like, how can I be more like a man so I could do the things that men do? It's like, actually, how do I be empowered as a woman with like the beautiful things that I have to offer?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Absolutely.
And yeah, and fighting for, honestly, right now, like I thought that there was like, until I had like got, until birth, like, and getting into the birth world and whatever, like, my, like, getting into being a doula and all that, I was like, why is feminism still a thing? Like, I don't get it. I feel like it's actually kind of counterproductive at this point. Like, and then I, like, just started seeing how the medical system was, like, so effed up, especially around, like, birth and women's health. Like, hey, women, like, we have a long way to go. We have so, and it's happening, and the change is happening, but, like, I think that there's absolutely a purpose for, like, a redefined feminism right now, and it has to do with the medical industry. I mean, even like, stuff that happened to me, like, when with the twins, where I was, like, I wanted to have a home birth, ended up in the hospital, C-section, all that stuff, and they lost my placenta. Like, oh my God, this is gonna, I'm what? Like, we can't even go into this right now because we're gonna talk about this for way too long. Yeah. But they lost my placenta.
Where did they lose it?
It's, yeah, so they put it in the fridge that it was supposed to go in, and they think that it got accidentally thrown into the, like, the get rid of it.
The biohazard.
Biohazard, whatever. But I'm also, my little, like, conspiracy theorist inside is like, F you, somebody stole that shit, because a placenta, like, if you just pull out your phone right now and Google how much a placenta costs.
Is it expensive?
It's I think at least
$5,000. $10,000 for just a regular, placenta, not an identical twin placenta, preemie. I'm like, what are the stem cells in that like?
Oh, yeah.
You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm just like.
And your cord. The cord is even.
Yep. All that. I'm like, these, yeah. Like, you, people literally spend, like, thousands of dollars a year just to store this stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had, an acquaintance after I had JMO ask if she could buy some of my encapsulated placenta. I was like, we're not that close. I was like, I'll give some to my friend, but I'm not going to fucking sell you my dried body part. Like,
I know. I overproduced a lot.
$50,000 for a placenta.
Placenta.
See, I forgot an extra zero. I was like, at least five. Yeah.
Thank you, Jordan.
Wow.
Basic Google search, first thing that comes up.
Yeah.
$50,000.
Someone's like, identical twin.
Somebody is buying a new car with your placenta.
Yeah. I'm like, okay, 1% of all pregnancies are twins.
Yeah.
8% of those are
identical.
And they're shared are mono dye, sharing a placenta with two sacs.
Oh, there were two sacs.
There were two sacs, but they shared a placenta. So 8%, or I don't know what percent of identical twins, but it's 8% of identical twins are mono dye.
Okay.
I believe. So it's like so rare. So yeah. I'm just like,
somebody wanted that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure. All right, yeah, you lost it.
And then did you say, like, cool, so I'll be having my lawyer contact you?
Okay, so this is, like, apparently I talked to a lawyer who said that, like, I basically have no legal grounds to stand on.
For your own organ.
Yeah, so, and then I looked more into it, and it turns out that our laws are super effed up, and once an organ is not in your body anymore, it no longer belongs to you.
Oh.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah, it belongs to I don't
whoever
know.
Whoever took it.
Whoever has their hands on it first.
Cool.
Yeah. So.
Wow.
There was a whole case about it with a guy who had his doctor convince him to remove an organ for cancer, and then the doctor made, like, millions of dollars off the research from it, and the guy got nothing.
And he was like, well, you told me to take it out, so
yeah.
It's mine now.
Yeah.
That's so fucked up. It doesn't surprise me. It doesn't surprise me at all.
So, but not
you're,
to like,
yeah, you're a good force in the medical field. Like, my cousin, too, is, like, just the most amazing person ever. and she's a nurse. And so, like, I commend you and others like you who are, you know, bringing in this, like, you know, more fringe, you know,
definitely
type
fringy.
Of,
yeah. When I decided to have an out-of-hospital birth working as a bedside nurse, all of my nurse friends at the hospital were like, oh, you don't have to be such a... What did one girl call me? She was like, you don't have to be such a hero. Just do it at the hospital. Like, what is your problem? And everybody else was like...
My God, what?
Yeah. Everybody else was like, what if something happens? What if something goes wrong? Yeah. What if... And I was like, what if it doesn't? Like, it's way more likely that something will go wrong when you're fucking with the natural process of my body.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's way more C-sections in hospital births than there are in out of hospital births.
Right.
And how the fuck did we get to 2020 when my son was born? When we only have had hospitals for the last 100 years, mm-hmm. without being okay birthing babies.
Yeah.
Like that's literally the thing that my body was made to do. Like, mm-hmm. have a baby. Mm-hmm. And you're going to tell me that you need to help me with that? Like, no, go fuck yourself. I can do this. This is what I was made to do.
Totally.
So
it's a total reclamation.
Yeah. And then the hospital's there when you have twins with twin-to-twin transfusion syndrome and things are crazy. And
totally. And that's
I planned a home birth, too. Oh, my gosh. Okay. Yeah.
You had
the music's getting rowdy.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, but this is a conversation for another day. I'm like, we should, but I would love to have you on here again.
Yeah.
I would love to have you on again. This is really fun. And like,
I know, I feel like I
scratched the surface.
I know. Yeah. I just like, I already learned so much from you just having you here. And like, I know like our audience and like our friends who listen are going to get something out of this for sure.
Awesome. Well, thank you for having me. It's fun.
Yeah,
you guys made it really comfortable.
Oh, thanks.
And young Jamie over here. I don't know if you get that reference, but
yes, I do. Yeah,
I don't get it.
Joe Rogan.
Okay.
Jojo doesn't really listen to many podcasts.
Yeah,
I do.
So I will say, what's funny is Joe Rogan. Actually, I will say, probably was like a big catalyst into me getting into like the more health and wellness world.
Oh yeah,
not him specifically, but I started listening to his podcast when I was like starting to go down the rabbit holes. Mm. And he has some really like awesome people on his podcast are really like science based. Rhonda Patrick is one of them that I just would like love her. I love her research. She very like sciencey, dense. She has a podcast too that I started listening to when I heard her on his podcast. I mean, it's a lot of information, but it's super informative. It's just really interesting. And she's always like bringing new data, new research to the forefront. So I love her. And Dom DiAgostino was on there, and he was the one that got me like down the rabbit hole of like ketogenic diet and like learning how to apply that for, you know, different, because it helps with, you know, a whole slew of things.
Yeah.
But so anyway, going full circle back to that.
Yeah.
I was like, he definitely was a, it's funny too, because like I never listened to his like fight podcast or.
Right.
I like very fringy listen to the ones where he has like doctors and, you know, people like
that's
that.
That's why it's the most popular podcast in the world, because he covers all of his fucking bases. Like, I only listen really to his comedy ones or his ones with musicians.
Yeah.
I don't really listen to the doctor, like, a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, but
it, he has, like, but that's what I like about him. That's why, like, I told you, like, the open forum. Like, it's cool because you're just
I've heard him with, like, Jordan Peterson on before. Oh, yeah. Like, I don't know. It's just kind of
funny.
Yeah,
I like that. And, dude, I love
because he has, like, people on who, like, are not
dude, he was
in his way of life at all.
During,
but it's, like, you know, I don't know. It's kind of cool.
He talks to everybody, like, on both sides, which was funny. Like,
absolutely.
When he started blowing up. I probably started listening to him about 13 years ago. Mm-hmm. And he started like really blowing up, and then everybody was like, oh my, now especially they're like, he's a crazy right wing conspiracy theorist. I'm like, really? I never hear that stuff on his podcast. Like it's not anything. So it's just so funny how.
No, those people don't actually listen. And I was going to say, he was like such an inspiration to me during COVID, like just for like sanity, you know, like he was like, you're not gonna let me interview someone who's like not going along with the popular narrative, like I'm not even agreeing with them, like
oh, yeah.
we're just good just having a podcast, and like then a bunch of people like got off of Spotify.
Yeah, I forgot
of
about that.
I was like
Willie
bro.
Nelson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just like, dude, that. Like y'all were like part of like the freedom movement like back in like the 60s and 70s, and now you're like
big like, pharma like, has silenced. Gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
It's crazy. But I
to bring
I love
that
I
like, full circle, because for real, I mean, oh my gosh.
Well, that's like, I feel like he's like a part of the wave of like, let's just like be fucking normal. Like, let's just be humans. Let's just talk. You know, just because I'm talking to you doesn't mean I agree with you. I'm just having a conversation. I think we need to have conversations, like, and not even like, you don't have to agree with someone to have a conversation with them. It's going to open your mind in a different way. It's not going to change you to believe what they believe, you know?
No, yeah. But I think like
we were talking about earlier too with listening, like
absolutely.
It's definitely, I think for me, the biggest thing has changed in the last like 15, 20 years now. I'm so old. is like I have very strong opinions, but they're loosely held.
Mm-hmm.
So like I feel very strongly about what I feel about, but like if you want to try to convince me otherwise, I'll hear you out.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And maybe I am wrong.
Yeah,
right.
But for a long time back in those spicy days, no, I'm right, you're wrong, I don't care what you have to say. So yeah. It's a big listening thing for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you don't agree at the end of the day, like, cool. Like, agree to disagree. Like, if that's what makes you happy and what makes you tick, then go for it. Like,
yeah. Like, it's like, you can just listen. Like, it's not you don't have to, you're not going to become, like, infected by someone else's, like, opinion. Like, if you really strongly believe that in your heart, then you can just be like, oh, okay, that opens my perspective to see what someone else is thinking and, like, humanize them a bit and be like, okay, this is, like, even, like, family members and stuff saying stuff that I'm like, ah, I don't agree with that. But, like, I'll hear you out. And, like, you know, you're my dad and I love you and you have a great, amazing soul. And I see where you're coming from. Then it's able, you're able to see, you don't like other groups of people and stuff and buy into this, like, divisive fucking bullshit that's going. I mean, it's been going on. And it's, like, you know, an election year now. And I see it happening again. And I'm just like, y'all, like,
that's the intent is to divide.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm like, aren't we over this, or like, haven't we like already seen through this enough? Like, I just,
it's funny to me watching both sides, like of the political spectrum, both say the exact same things.
Yes.
As the other side.
Yeah,
but like my dad's family is like extremely conservative and my mom's family is like very liberal.
Uh-huh.
So my mom's family, like during COVID, was like terrified of everything. I didn't get vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
So once the vaccine rolled out and I was like not gonna get vaccinated, we had already hung out as a family, and then we had Thanksgiving and they put me and my family at a separate table, like my husband and me and the kids.
Oh my
and
gosh.
Everybody else was we're outside, by the way, like everybody else is at another table, and I'm like what the fuck just happened? Like, we were just together like a few months ago.
Uh-huh.
Not being crazy.
Yeah,
by the way, I've had COVID. Like, isn't that enough? And then yeah. I'm like, it was what a wild
time that was.
It was crazy. It was crazy, like from one day to the next at the hospital, like, heroes don't wear capes. You're a murderer because you yeah. won't get a vaccine. I was like, what is going on? Like,
yeah.
It was wild.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And they laid that pressure on thick. It was like crazy. I felt like I was going crazy.
Yeah. It was pretty bad.
And like, I know we have to wrap this up, but yeah, we haven't even talked about this on the pod at all. Yeah, like I was pregnant at the time. I was like, I'm not doing that. And then my husband's like, maybe for my job, I will. I was like, for your job at fucking, like, you know, you're like, you're a server, dude. Like, don't do it. Like, it's,
yeah,
you know. And he was like, he didn't want to anyways, but they just laid it on so thick and like ostracize people, like, and they're like, you can't talk to your family if you don't.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, what the
oh
fuck?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. We need to have an episode about this. Honestly, we need to have an episode about it, because
we're just going into a bunch of rabbit holes
to say. And okay, we're very like-minded, which was part of the reason I was like, okay, come on, because we're gonna have fun talking.
Okay, part yeah. two, maybe we'll do video, because okay. we're having you for a part two, because I love you.
It's been fun. I'll come again. I promise.
Yay. Okay, good. And then we can talk about fun things like also like, you know, just some foreshadowing here. I want to hear about your hunting and I want to talk about, you know, some food ethics.
Yeah.
Because there's a whole bunch that we could talk about there.
Yeah.
All that said, and all this, like, this was so great. I'm so glad that you came. Thank you so much for like making it happen. I know you're working and you're a mom, so taking the time is like everything. So thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you, Becca.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I had a great time.
Yay, good.
Well, I wasn't as awkward as I thought I was gonna be.
Oh, you're so great. You are a natural. All right, y'all. Happy. It's Sivan ending and we're entering into Tammuz.
Yes. I was going to say Tikkun. Tikkun Olam. That's your goal for the week.
So everybody listen, practice listening more. We love you. Goodbye.
Bye.